We are back in session. So I will go to the next committee, which is Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Carol Chalk, Chair. Last report of the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee from Carol. Who's on her way? Who's coming? And here she is.
I gave a more complete report the last time around, so we
just say no report.
We since then had a public meeting last Thursday night where our consultant and staff presented the various alternatives and then options for the Pine Tree Road multimodal project. This is the north end of Pine Tree Road. We had a fairly low turnout compared to the other meetings. Basically, our consultants looked at four or five different alternatives or more for the section of the trail that would be south of the bridge, the longer section between Maple Avenue and the bridge, for the bridge itself, and then for the shorter section north of the bridge, between the bridge and with 366, and then figured out a way to make various of those sections match up with each other and narrow down the 20 different pieces to four options for our consideration, of which our staff are recommending one. So we had, I don't know, 10 or 15 residents. There were how many? And us out there, and mostly bicyclists who had some concerns that our staff took down, but that are mostly at the ends of those points, the trail itself where it crosses the bridge, the 366 end and the Maple Avenue end. The most concerns were really the Maple Avenue end, where our current project ends. How will that end and how will that integrate, particularly for bicyclists and walkers, so that they're not run over as people come around that corner. So it was a productive meeting, and I'm happy to be turning over the committee to Peter. It will meet. Tell us when it will meet. Our very first meeting for the new committee was on a holiday, fell on a holiday, so we were looking for a new date.
Right.
Do you have a 20?
Did you come up with one?
February 21st.
Help me, Kathy. When is it?
It's February 21st at 10:30.
Thank you.
Okay. No, that's the...
Is that the regular meeting?
The holiday?
That will be the regular meeting because
first. Oh, that's a Thursday, right, at 10:30.
February 21st.
And then while I have the floor and I'm talking about dates, can I, if there are questions about F&I, I can take those first.
Any F&I questions?
While I'm talking about dates, the new planning committee, Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality, will meet on Monday, February 4th at 3:30. And my apologies, there's still the old name and members listed on the upcoming agenda that probably should be corrected. We'll correct that at our meeting.
All right. Thanks very much, Carol. Capital plan review. Mike had to go to a meeting in the village of Dryden, so he gave me his report. As discussed a little bit, we did have the COFA dedication at the Human Services Annex on Friday, which was, it was just terrific. A lot of people attended, a lot of community folks, and everybody was just thrilled. Holt had sent some photographs around, put on their Facebook page if you want to go and have a look there. The committee discussed ad alternates for the old courthouse, and this is the project that had been delayed because of the rebidding, but they're now underway. But it was sort of the last moment where we could consider whether we wanted to add any of the most of the additions could be decided later. The one that needed to be decided right up front was whether to do the basement conference room. We did not go ahead with that, with recommending that, because we just felt it was, you know, a lot of money, and we thought if it's absolutely essential later on, then that's something that could be done separately. So we didn't recommend that, and obviously didn't come to this body when we had the full motion. We discussed the day reporting relocation. As you know, that will be the last program left in the old library that won't have a home. Family Treatment Court will be moving downstairs in this building, and actually relatively soon. They're working on that at this point, on renovating that space for Family Treatment Court. So Labella Associates is working on the design that they had done now a couple of years ago, looking at the Human Services building, taking the Beverly Livesey Conference Room and associated space on the first floor, and perhaps renovating that for the Justice Center. When we had learned that it wouldn't fit when we were talking about the probation staff people plus the Family Treatment Court, if it's only the day reporting program, there's a chance that it might fit. So Labella is working on that with a small contract that was able to fit into Arel's budget. So no additional funding needed. It's a benefit that they did the original design, so it's easier for them to refresh that. And we talked about the Center of Government Study. If you remember, this was something we had Holt Architects do in the beginning of our legislative term, whether it made economic sense for us to build a center of government and consolidate various downtown offices. At the time when they did finish their report, they reported out to the committee, and that was why we sort of proceeded along the other avenues that we have with our relocation, et cetera. The committee will relook at that in March. Joe will present that again and sort of have the committee have another fresh look at that, and then we'll bring it to the legislature in the second meeting of March so that everybody can sort of understand what the basis was for that sort of null decision, no action decision on a grand center of government. So those were the topics we talked about at CPR, and off the top of my head, I can't remember the next meeting. I think it's this February 13th. Wednesday, February 13th at 3:30. Yeah, Will?
Martha, thank you for the report. The idea of using the human services building and specifically the Bev Livesey room, as you know, a concern in the past was loss of meeting space. Mm-hmm. And I know there have been discussion of perhaps that space being reconfigured so that it could serve dual functions. Is that mm-hmm. still in the thinking of the committee? Or?
Yeah, that's something they'll look at. But I would add that the back of the Human Services Annex, where the Sustainability Center will be temporarily, is, if you haven't seen it, that's a beautiful meeting, beautiful space. The Sustainability Center's use will not involve anything permanent. They're going to bring furniture in. They will be looking shortly at some point for a permanent space. That could be an excellent conference room that Joe and Mike and I were looking at when we were there on Friday. So that's an option that we didn't have when we first looked at the Human Services building. We're certainly aware of the very strong need for community meeting space. So that's one of the issues.
Thank you.
Peter.
Martha, is it true that we lose a conference room after the grand shift takes place, that we lose this conference room, the courthouse conference room, and we don't get a replacement or an additional conference room in the old courthouse? Is that correct?
Kathy, is it that we can't ask for that room, or is it you think it'd be less likely we'd get it?
I think it probably would be available if we needed to use it, as long as it was...
I can't hear you.
I think it would be available to us if we needed it, as long as it was open, but, you know, we would be required to go through security. And.
Okay.
And, you know, that's whether it's open is sort of... The court has first dibs on it now, so...
Right.
Carol?
I just want to point out that in our new space, there'll be a side table... That will be available as a conference table and space, and then in the Office for the Aging building, there's also, in addition to the space Martha was talking about, there's a 22-person, up to 22-person lovely conference room in there that we have.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you. The next report, Government Operations, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
We had a special meeting before the legislature meeting today, and in addition to what you've already voted on tonight, we have finally, I believe, laid the Code of Ethics review to bed and have set it forward to have a public hearing on in March or February, Kathy? I can't remember when.
Probably March.
In March. It's a ways off yet, but at least that's one thing off of the new chair's plate. So I'm pleased to say that we got through that language today. And it's been fun. Thank you all.
Any questions for Dooley? Dooley, you have a resolution that came off consent. Resolution G.
Resolution G, petition New York State Governor and state representatives to authorize the application process for grants through the Local Government Records Management Improvement Fund and terminate the seizure of funds collected for a dedicated purpose. And there's a revised version, and I move it.
Seconded by Frank.
Since I had it pulled off, can I speak to this?
Of course.
This goes back to the years that I was a commissioner with the State Archives through the State Education Department. I chaired a 10-county region for the state while I was on this board and while we were a board instead of a legislature. And the source of these fees comes through 50 cents of every document that's filed in every county clerk's office goes into a fund. And we were able to get in this county, we did not take advantage of this in the old days, and to date we probably have brought into local governments, towns, the city of Ithaca, matter of fact, all of the archive when Cookie Polangeli was with the city. Everything that's in the basement there, everything that's in the basement of the town of Ithaca's new building was all funded by this, and a number of the towns have received archive grants well into $3 million locally. We had in excess of $20 million in this fund every year, and we spread it around the state. Some of you may have been on the review committees to allocate those funds. I know Greg Potter, I got him involved in Aurora. Aurora is our official records officer in this county. This is one of the quietest programs in the state of New York, and for the state to be raiding this fund now is absolutely ludicrous. We just received a $400,000 grant that I was told, I think Aurora mentioned it to me, that was a joint grant with Greg Potter to do some work. And I only hope that the money, that we do get the money. If they have sequestered this money, we may not see that. And I don't know the answer to that, so I don't want to scare anybody. I don't think this resolution goes far enough, because by them not permitting the grant process to go forward, every single municipality, well, certainly in our county, is not eligible to apply for it. Every single volunteer fire company and every single fire district in this county that has taxing authority, and every one of us in a rural town has one of those. Town of Ithaca has one of those, at least two of those. Everyone is forestalled from applying for this money, and the effect is really devastating. I can't imagine you not supporting this, but as I read this and Aurora sent it around to some of us a week or so ago, And it's really a kick in the teeth. I served for 10 years on this commission and was on the LGRAC, the next commission up. And it's a very worthwhile piece of change that comes back to us. Aurora could give you chapter and verse about it, and so could Greg Potter, about how worthwhile our library is full of stuff that this funded. Anyway, I'll stop. Please support it.
Frank, you said it didn't go far enough. What else did you think should be in this? I thought it was quite strong.
I think it would be wise to, and I couldn't think fast enough about doing this because it's timely. We need to do something before they retap this. It would be wise to add something, and Aurora might be the best person to tell us what the fund has meant to the municipalities, the entities in this county, and how it's hamstringing and will hamstring their applying for that money.
Okay, so what's not at the bottom of this resolution is what we often have on resolutions, that copies are going to be sent to lots of people. And if, as part of that distribution list, there were a letter from our legislative chair that included the information that you're referencing, maybe there would be time to put that together. Would that be possible?
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be great. If you could get the information to me, and some detail.
And I also think it would be really good to have this as a NYSAC issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This would be a good NYSAC issue. In addition to that, we ought to try to get the municipality. Is there a TCOG meeting coming up soon?
It's the fourth. Mm-hmm. This is the fourth Thursday. No, but they just canceled it, so it's not till February 28th.
If the word could get around to the TCOG members because of the impact on them as well, because a lot of those municipalities have applied and been beneficiaries of this fund.
Could this be sent to the TCOG list then? Okay, we'll do that.
Every state legislator loves this. When there's money to be distributed in their district, they all take a bow. So I'm glad to hear you say you're going to add the list of legislators to this, too.
Well, I think when you read the headlines from the about the governor's budget that says we're closing a $1.3 or whatever billion-dollar gap with no new taxes.
Yeah, here's $3
Here's
million.
Part of it. That IDA issue is part of it. And, you know, I'm sure our department heads will be finding other places that are part of it. There's really no magic here.
I like the wording in the next to the last resolve that refers to the practice of sweeping money collected for dedicated purpose, because that applies to more than just the topic of this resolution. It's happening many places. It happens with bottle deposits, sportsman's money, just everywhere.
Okay. So, Carol?
Yeah, I just had a question about it. So is this just our resolution in Hopkins County, or is this one that's circulating?
It's circulating.
No, on the correspondence list tonight, I noticed that Cortland County passed a similar one, so I assume there are others, too.
But we can see if NYSAC, we try to make sure NYSAC is doing something specific. They have their list of resolutions.
Good idea.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor of Resolution G, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thanks for that discussion, Frank.
Thank you.
All right. I apologize. During the recess, there was a request for an executive session for personnel issues, so I hope we can have a brief session after this legislature meeting. Let's see. We have gone through planning. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
The regularly scheduled Broadband Committee meeting was postponed this week. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be the fourth Monday in February. If we decide we need a meeting before then, I will announce it at a future meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Jim?
Have we heard anything about our grant app?
That's the primary reason we postponed, because no, we have not. We've been told every week that we would hear that week, and we haven't heard so far. We are in the process of So we're trying to plan for contingencies, but we've gone about as far as we can without having some details. And so without having that information, it's just hard to make any other decisions at this point.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Budget Capital Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Let me get right to it. We have an adoption of the cash management and investment policy, and I would move that and just want to say a few words after it's on the floor.
Moved and seconded by Kathy Luce.
Many of the items that we get put before us that are policies, investment policies, other kinds of financial things, while it is not Doris Kearns Goodwin kind of reading, this is riveting. It'd be a good over your coffee reading to find out how this county actually does their work in cash management. It's pretty enlightening. David put on your desk the sheet that tells where we currently have our banking, our money, our deposits. And I draw your attention to the Bank of America, $2,052, and Citizens at $22,015, which are curious numbers to me. But at any rate, I would hope everyone supports that. And David is here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jim. I got Frank, then Pam and Pat, Peter, and Julie.
Thanks, Martha. David, I want to ask you a question about an item on packet page 21, and then I have a disclosure I have to make. Under the diversification, Roman 5, the third bullet down, which says, which reads, no more than 10% of the overall portfolio may be deposited in state-authorized cooperative investment programs. Can you say what, give us an example of what those are?
There's a couple of programs that we've never utilized that's sponsored by the state comptroller. They have some nickname, but it's just not convenient to they're just money market funds.
But they're rather small. The programs may not be, but our investment in them, it can't go more than 10%.
We don't put any money in them.
We don't usually put money in. Okay. The other thing, one of the banks that is listed as a potential place to park our county funds, the Tompkins County Trust Company, I just want to disclose that currently I still have a relative that works at that bank, and while that individual does not have any association with the investment policy or whatever, it would be good for me to at least let you know that that exists.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Pam, Peter, and then Dooley.
David, under that same section, it looks like there's been a change.
Yes.
We have increased the amount that we are allowed to deposit in a single bank, and I'm assuming the next one was also changed.
Yes.
So could you explain to me why that changed?
Well, primarily, at the end of 2011, we had more money in one bank than the policy called for, so I increased it so we wouldn't have that finding. As the example shows, it really changes dramatically from month to month. So I just felt like during the year, we did change banks for the solid waste operation, which puts more money in the trust company because solid waste was banking with Citizens. And Citizens is no longer authorized, but we haven't closed the account out yet. That's why it's on there. But the trust company is the closest practical bank to the solid waste operation. So that was going to increase it to probably 60% at worst case scenario. We've been averaging about 50, 55%.
Could I have a follow-up to that?
And the lower, because the The money center bank, the only money that goes in there is what gets wired in from New York State into that bank, and then it gets moved into our primary bank when we need it. And typically every 2 weeks we need some move money in to cover payments. Every 2 weeks we have payroll, we have accounts payable weekly, we have debt services payments monthly. So.
Right. Well, I mean, that one makes sense to me, because I think having our money kept locally is helps our economy here. But the one that says, I mean, I just don't know, is it what best practices are in these things about with the 65%? I mean, was there like a best practice in terms of what is?
Well, diversification is the best practice. Now, but in operation, you know, and we spread the money out, but it's much more efficient to have all your disbursements in the same bank, because you have to, if you want to keep your money invested, it's a lot easier to cover the funds if they're not spread among too many banks. So typically, we're just moving money in to one bank to cover our disbursements.
But is there any danger in that?
No, there's no danger. I mean, if you chose to say, well, we don't want to have it more than 50%, we could do that. It just take a little more management. We'll put a little more money in other banks. What typically, though, we don't move. When we put money in other banks, we don't typically move in and out, because we generally have a strategy. We're putting something there for a future need.
And they have to securitize them anyway.
What's that?
They have to securitize them anyway.
But the,
I know.
But there's such a thing as, I raised it so I wouldn't have a finding.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Peter.
I have a question and a disclosure. My question is, how did you ever come to decide to put $2,200 in the Bank of America? That's number one.
It's been there a long time.
And my disclosure is that I have an account in the First National Bank here. So Tompkins Trust Company. I've lived here so long. When I put it in there, it was First National Bank. So you got that disclosure? Okay, thank you. So can you answer my question?
We've always had an account at the Bank of America. It has not been utilized. It's open in case we want to continue, you know, but we could close it out or we could keep it. You know, it's just it hadn't been a high priority to even deal with. It doesn't even require collateral because it's underneath the deposit insurance.
Well, it looks like we gained $2 in interest.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, well, that answers my question.
Yeah.
I have another question.
All right, Dooley, Leslin, Carol, and Pam again.
Pam's question has prompted another one for me, so I'll ask that first. When you have a percentage limit, is that for one day or an average over a month?
Well, it's really measured at the close of business at the end of each month.
It's monthly. So
yes.
I would feel better having that down to 60%. I would feel better not changing it at all, but this seems like too high a number.
And that's one of the difficulties, because we don't pay a lot, you know, the Friday is the end of a week, and Friday could be the end of a month, and Thursdays are our payday, and whether the thing's clear enough in time, the balance could be overstated, actually, you know, when it's so it's hard to control. It's hard to control from the standpoint of being precise to never go over that target. Or it's easy to get underneath the target, but not to control it if you use one bank as your primary dispersing agent.
Joe?
But it's not a monthly average.
The
bank has to collateralize the deposits that are on hand that are booked for the last day of the month.
I did understand you to say that. What I originally wanted to ask you about was on page 8 of your statement, which is packet page 27. And this is the schedule of eligible securities. And you talk about, it talks about obligations have to be rated in one of the three highest rating categories. But there's no list of rating categories, and I honestly can't remember for the different rating services, how many categories are there for each of them? Do you know what I'm talking about? You're looking at me funny.
You're talking about...
I'm looking at page 9, which is the rating organizations, and they mention, what is it, their best rating category for each of the long-term and short-term. How many rating categories are there? I know that there are a bunch of them.
Well, investment grade is typically referring to investment grade, so you have AB, you know, AAA, AA, and anything below.
So for Moody's, there would be 4 or 5 investment grade ones?
Yes.
So
you wouldn't be, and it's really kind of irrelevant because we don't hold any investments, and we haven't held any investments that are in 15, 20 years that are securities. There have been cash investments. But if we, you know, if you held a mortgage-backed security that's rated C, it wouldn't qualify for this kind of thing. That's what it's intended for. Let's say a bond from the city of New Orleans might be B plus.
So the next to the last bullet on that same page, packet page 27. Talks about any mortgage-related securities, and with all the mortgage as defined, under the limitations established by federal bank regulatory agencies, with our last few years of experience, that language just seems scary to me. So what do we do? Do we have mortgage-backed securities that we have invested in?
No.
Okay.
So the banks collateralize our deposits.
Yes.
With
and we have no control over that.
Correct. I mean, it depends on the bank. Most of our deposits are collateralized with like the trust company portfolio is mostly New York State school districts because
that's not too
local banks. Banks get to deduct. The carrying cost of smaller municipalities, so community banks tend to invest in local securities, whereas the large banks would be investing in treasuries or mortgage, securities of federal agencies.
All right. Sorry, I missed the budget committee discussion. But
I've got Leslie and Carolyn Pan.
Oh, thank you. David, I have two real simple questions. Is there some criteria for how we decide which financial institutions, or we just try to cover all the banks? And my second question is there a reason why credit unions can't be included?
Credit unions are not authorized for public funds presently.
Yeah. We want them to be, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. Every year there's legislation, but the banking industry, because credit unions don't pay taxes, and
right.
The banks pay corporate taxes, so that's why they always fight that. The policy has always been to do business with banks domiciled in Tompkins County.
Right.
So
that's just it.
That's
it. Not the rating, not...
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Carol?
Yeah, I was concerned about a couple of these things and called David and spoke to you at some length, which I appreciate. And I was concerned first about the raising the limit to be deposited in a single bank.
on the surface of things, it just makes more sense to diversify, especially given the fiscal climate right now. Our local banks seem to be right now, knock on wood, in good shape, but you never know. But the fact is, he did convince me that it really, for the inconvenience for the staff and the extra staff time in making, and you didn't put it this way, but that's not what I deduced, was that the extra staff time just wasn't worth it, given that this money is collateralized, that it's, if one of these banks should fail, it's our money is essentially insured. And then I also talked to him about the whole credit union issue. It seems that the main reason that credit unions, which invest by definition in our local community, aren't on the list is because of a strong bank lobby. Mm-hmm. At some point, I would be open to the budget committee coming to us with some kind of a resolution urging New York State to change that policy, especially given what they're doing to how they're hitting our communities in other ways. Let us invest some money here that clearly gets used here. I know the trust company and some of these other banks also invest money here, but by definition, our credit unions all do. So at some point, I'd be interested in seeing us do that.
Can we even do that?
We can urge New York State to do it.
Excuse me, I'm asking David. I mean, we could have a resolution. Who would we send a resolution to? New York State government?
Well, there's always legislation, every year to provide authorization for credit unions to accept. Right. So, this legislature could weigh in on.
Okay, you obviously know history. Why do they always turn it down?
Bank lobby.
Well, there's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of animosity in the between the credit union and the banking lobbyist.
So I don't know if you heard that David said pointed out that credit unions don't pay corporate taxes, banks do. I mean, there's nothing simple.
And credit unions have been very aggressive in confronting the banks and demanding community reinvestment practices, and so which has cost the banks also. So between those two things, that there's still bitter feelings between the industries.
So anyway, that would be a discussion for the budget committee, not now.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Can I just point out that I went to New York State with a vice president from each of the Cornell Federal Credit Union and the trust company on, not this issue, but they were very pleased to see them both there and very appreciative. We saw people on the Assembly Committee, Senate Committee, and some staff, some legal staff, and, they were very happy that there was banking, lending of any kind being done on the local level in New York State.
Okay, if the budget
totally
committee wants to take this up, that'd be fine. It's not related to this policy, so.
No. So anyway, I started out talking to David, not supporting that 65% number, but I did end up deciding it was okay. So I'll support it.
All right, Pam?
Well, I was going to say what Leslin said, and that got said. I won't say it again.
Whatever I said.
Whatever it was she said. I agree with it.
All right. Any other questions or discussion?
I will formally move to change the 65% down to 60%.
Is there a second for that?
I did not hear what Dooley said.
Dooley wants to change. On packet page 21, under where it says institution, the first bullet, no more than 65% of the overall portfolio may be deposited in a single bank. Dooley would move that to 60%.
Allowing David to move it up from 55%.
Allowing David to move it up from
it's currently
55. Currently 55.
65. And what was your
60%.
Amendment? 60%. 60?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there a second for that motion?
It's too bad.
All right, it fails for lack of second. Lack of a second. All right, we have the main motion, resolution I. No, that's not I. Resolution J. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much, David.
I'd like to be recorded. No, I'm losing my mind. You just announced the vote.
You'd like to change your vote.
I'd like to, yes.
I announced it unanimous. I think it's unanimous.
Well, can't you just write a note on say, duly voted no?
Could we reconsider this and allow me to vote?
All right. It's passed 13-1. Jim.
Yeah. The next meeting is February 25th, 4 to 6 p.m., and I just want to give you a short report on the DOF search. Our next meeting for that is February 14th, 9 a.m. We have been receiving the answers to the written questions, and hopefully people are reviewing those, and we'll have a discussion about those. There's another meeting set up, trying to be set up for February 25th, later in the day, or earlier in the day for some interviews that whole week for actual face-to-face interviews with potential candidates. So, with that, I'm finished.
Jim, if legislators want to attend the interviews, just to listen.
We have no ground rules. I'm hoping that the members of the committee show up. If you want to come, fine.
So we'll let everybody know when those when the interviews are.
It's going to be at some point during that whole week of February 25th. There are 5 days to choose from, and not everyone has weighed in yet on the meeting wizard. Julie, you had a question.
Is there a meeting before the interview meetings?
Before what?
The interview meetings.
Oh, yeah. It's February 14th.
And what time?
9 a.m.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
I have no report. The next meeting of Public Safety will take place on February 11 at 3:30.
All right. Thanks very much. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Les Lombick being Claiborne Chair.
Thank you very much. WDSC met on January 23rd, just last week. We had an opportunity to get an update on our reading and discussion program that we hope to be rolling out March, April. We also talked about getting on board as a county because our Department of Social Services had already purchased Race to Power of an Illusion, which is being presented to the community right now, and thank you to many of you who were there at the preview last Friday morning, I believe. And so as a county, we are, WDIC is ready to encourage us to get on board as a host for that community read and conversation that will follow a community read, community viewing, and conversation that will follow. We also had an opportunity to review the priorities for the county workforce and look at some of the things that we have done, some of the things that are in the works with department heads and Joe that came out of our retreat following the climate survey, and things that are going to determine our goals going forward into this year. So those are some of the things, including the policy that is in the works and will be coming around soon for review. I don't remember what the word is Paula uses, but for everybody to take a look at it and offer their feedback. So that's happening. And I also do want to say, on behalf of WDIC, Sean is not here anymore. Thanks for her for serving as vice chair of that committee. Her expertise and input was invaluable on that committee, and we certainly will miss her in that role and just as a member of the committee. So thank you, Sean. That's my report.
Thanks so much, Leslie. Jim.
Leslie, I wanted you to know, or note, I don't know if it was on, you probably didn't see this month's budget committee, but I've asked the clerk to add WDIC as a Roman numeral
on the budget committee as we move forward, since you're a new member of the committee, and I'm hoping that we can keep better track of the kinds of things that you're doing as you will be giving us, or not, a report each time we have a meeting.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions, any other questions for Leslon? All right, Health Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health and Human Services Committee, the first formal meeting will be February 12th, but at 3:30, our usual meeting time. The just to give you a quick update, we had an opportunity last evening to attend at the library a review of the Affordable the Health Care Act. The a representative from Barbara Lifton's office was there, along with Dr. Evelyn, pardon me, from Cuba Medical Center. Nate, who was one of the featured speakers, was unable due to a conflict to attend, and I pigeonholed him before the meeting tonight. I'm saying it out loud, Nate. Yep. Nate is going to be putting together a presentation on the Affordable Health Care Act for February, a meeting he's going to in February, and we were talking about him doing a presentation on it to the Health Committee probably in March or April.
Yeah, and I'll be doing an extensive presentation for League of Women Voters, too. I just will be doing it in the future, probably in the February, in the March-April time frame, too.
So we'll try to let you know when that'll be, because there are a lot of people around the table here that might want to sit in on that, because it's almost a moving target right now.
Yeah.
And that's what we were told last night. There's an awful lot of stuff going on. And also the state exchange that's coming together, that also has created, that was what Barbara Lifton's representative gave us a primer on last night. There's a lot of convolution going on with that as well. Some things apply, some things don't. I'm going to try to get some information together for the Health Committee and maybe have a representative from Barbara's office come and do that one as well at some point, because that's timely information. The next item, Dr. Evelyn, on behalf of Cuba Medical Center, reported about the care transitions and what the hospital was doing, and we'll be hearing a little more from Lisa on that one, as far as because she's leading that program. One side note with regard to Sean Martel Moore's announcement. Some of us remember, here you go, Leslon. Some of us remember when Scott Heyman was the Human Rights Commissioner, followed by Teddy Zimrot. I was the chairman of the Human Rights Commission for a number of years and served with a woman by the name of Margaret Dennis in those days. But there was quite an active group at that time. And so I would imagine that Joe is going to form a search committee at some point for a new commissioner. And I'll leave that. I don't want to. We haven't talked about that. But I'm just making an assumption that you'll
it's
be doing that.
It's a good point, and we're going to want to move quickly also to get that formed, to get that process going.
It might be good to try to get some thoughts from Sean before she pulls out.
Yeah.
Good. But the next meeting, as I said, is Lincoln's birthday, February 12th. Please come appropriately attired. Brian said that Peter is going to be appearing and speaking on behalf of Abe. So did I say that right, Brian?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Any questions? Peter.
Frank, did I hear you say that the Affordable Health Care Act, for those of us who don't know those formal words, that's Obamacare, right?
That sounds right.
Yeah. That you said it was a moving target. And I'm flabbergasted by that. It was passed in law 3 years ago. How could it possibly be a moving target?
Well, there's so many moving pieces in it, Peter. Some of them are just coming to light. Yeah, some of it's going to go into effect in 2014. They just uncovered the part that applies to smokers, if you caught that in the Ithaca Journal. Until the thing is, Nathan, correct me if I'm wrong, but the thing comes, it's like a 50-pound law.
Yeah, I mean, there's thousands of pages to the health care bill. The regulations are estimated to be hundreds of thousands of pages. And so that's where the moving target comment is right.
So it's just putting those words into dollars and cents and...
Yeah, but it's... unfortunately, even though the healthcare bill is thousands of pages, the words itself aren't very clear. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of room for interpretation.
Okay, thank you.
And each state implements... Either chooses to implement their own exchange or let the federal government... So New York State is in the process of making a lot of decisions. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of...
We're actually ahead of the curve. New York State is ahead of the curve on the exchange. I mean, we're doing pretty well, according to that. But it was discussed last night that a lot of Medicare is not... You can't apply under the exchange if you're a Medicare recipient. Anyway, we won't get into that. It was really a good discussion last night. I'm going to rely on Nathan to give you the skinny.
Okay. Nathan, did you have your hand up?
Me?
Yes,
I did.
Okay.
Frank, I had the privilege of working for Teddy Zimrod as temporarily as a human rights investigator, so I remember some of those days in that building that creaked and made noises after certain hours, the old Vicks building. I wanted to ask this legislator's indulgence, I meant to offer something during privilege of the floor or during my WDIC report. Carol Kamen on this coming Thursday, actually the 31st, is offering a pre-show lecture at the Kitchen Theater. There's a wonderful show at the Kitchen Theater called The Whipping Man, which I encourage everyone to please go see. But Carol is offering a lecture on Tompkins County in the Civil War at 6:30 before the show. So please take note if you want to hear some more. Thank you.
Which night?
Pardon?
Which night?
This Thursday. The 31st. Yes, this Thursday, January 31st. Sorry.
Will and then Frank.
This is sort of catching up things that we've got to say. First, I want to say that I saw The Whipping Man. I completely agree. It's a very, very powerful piece. I would encourage everybody to go see that. However, we skipped past the end of my PDAC report because I never got to report.
Well, okay, hold on. Frank, did you have something else under HHS?
No, I wanted to add something to Will's PDAC report.
Okay, so we've got tangents on the tangents. Okay, why not? Go ahead, Will.
So I think it should be noted that PDAC, which I don't know how long, Frank probably knows how long it's been around.
Why do you guys keep looking at me?
For a very long time. It has had its last meeting, and presumably this is its last report. I want to formally thank all the members who have been member of PDAC over the years and the many chair people who have ably chaired that sometimes unwieldy agenda. But at any rate, half of PDAC has become the new Economic Development Committee, and that will continue. And our first meeting will be on the 7th of February, a Thursday at 3:30. You are all cordially invited, and that is my report.
Thank you, Will. Okay, Frank.
Okay, may I add something to Will's
of
PDAC
course.
Report?
Of course. If I said no, will you do it
How
anyway?
How could you say no?
No,
this is, please, if you have anyone in your district that files ag assessments, agricultural assessments, they're due by April 1st, and they take some time to do. But this is the first year that the state... Joe reminded us before about the state becoming more efficient. The state's permitted more than one parcel to be listed on one form, which is brand new. In the past, you had to file different sheets depending upon the number of parcels that you were applying for. But the date hasn't changed. They need to be filed or the landowner will lose the exemption. and it becomes pretty expensive. The second part that Jay came to the Ag and Farmland Board the other day and explained to us that the assessment office is targeting open space and farmland this next time around. So once again, that will be on the hit parade, I'm afraid. And lastly, senior citizens exemptions. If you have anyone in your district that should be applying, please get over to see Irene Kehoe or Jay Franklin in assessment to make sure that they don't miss the deadline date for that. I believe that's March 1st.
So you're all getting me to think about a suggestion that's been made that we move legislative privilege to the end of the meeting. Maybe that would enable us to do all the things we... Oh, I forgot.
I forgot.
All right. Are there any... this is not legislative privilege.
I wanted to react to something that Will... Yes, he did.
Okay,
I
go ahead.
To Carol's
and then I'd like a motion on the minutes. We have an executive session. Carol, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to make sure that there, if anybody's still watching, that there's to correct any misimpression that might have been given that either the planning or the economic development functions, the environmental quality functions were going away. If we're not ending any of the functions, we're going to have a new, improved way to deal with them. And I always came to PDEC meetings. This is probably dialect here, but I always thought I was coming to PDEC meetings.
Brian?
You wanted a motion on the minutes?
That would be great.
Yep.
Seconded by Jim. Any comments? All in favor of the minutes of January 15th? Please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes 12 to 2. All right. I need a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of personnel issues. Moved by Pat, seconded by David. I do not expect us to take any action when we come out, so... all in favor of executive session, please raise your hand. Any opposed? All right, thank you. We'll take a five-minute break, and they'll turn off the cameras. Mics, please be in. I hope you keep the mics on. We need the mics. Be back in your seats in 5 minutes. Thank you.